Good morning. We'll continue today with our series on God's abundance. We've talked about so many areas where God provides not just a little bit, but a lot. And today we'll talk about God's care. The word care is used, and obviously we're used to that. Somebody cares about you. They take care of you. They're concerned, and they do stuff for you. God does a lot of that for us. And it's also used another way in the King James Bible, in the sense of worry and being mentally distracted. We call today being stressed out or freaked out or generally discombobulated. And the scriptures spend a lot of time telling us not to worry about stuff. And the reason we don't have to worry about it is because God cares about us. I mean, imagine if you were all worried about something you had to accomplish. But then you realize, wait a minute, there's this other person on my team that's so good and going to take care of everything, I don't have to worry about it. So I can just sort of let it go because somebody else has it covered. Well, we have that in spades because we have God taking care of us. And because God so cares for us, there's really nothing for us to be worried about. And that's what we'll look at today. And it's in abundance. That's the main thing, because our whole series is on abundance. Some of these topics we've covered before, but we're going to cover them from the point of view that God not only takes care of us a little bit, but a lot. He has much care for us. So let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Actually, let's start in Matthew 6. A friend of mine asked me what we were going to talk about today, and I mentioned the topic, and he immediately mentioned this section of Matthew 6. That's true. These very true verses. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. And this is the word, it's a Greek word that means to, it's translated care or careful many times in the King James, as we'll see. But it's a word that means to be apprehensive, to be have anxiety, to be anxious, to be unduly concerned, which is why I said in our modern vernacular it might be just to be stressed out. Take no thought. Don't be stressed out, here in verse 25, for your life. The problem is in the King James it says take no thought, like don't think about it. Well, you do have to think about your life. You know, you put your seatbelt on, you lock your front door, try not to drive into telephone poles. You know, you try to be careful about what you eat. You do think about your life, and we all should. But what we don't do is we don't have to stress out over it. We don't have to be upset about it. We don't have to be anxious about it. So therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Don't be worried for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, the birds, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, by getting anxious or worried, stressing out, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought? Why do you get stressed out for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. He wasn't clothed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith, little believing? Therefore take no thought, don't be anxious or worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, there's nothing wrong with seeking those things, but if that's all you look for in life, it's pretty limited. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Don't be anxious for the morrow shall take thought or be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And again, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. It's okay to decide, okay, tomorrow's Monday, I'm going to get up. I better pack my lunch, or I better put gas in the car, or I better wash my socks, or whatever it is you have to do to get ready for Monday. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a big difference between just doing a little healthy planning and being all freaked out. Oh no, tomorrow's Monday. I got to go talk to that person. I got to do this project. Oh! That's what God doesn't want us to do. There's enough to be concerned about today. Just focus on today. Trust God that He'll take care of you tomorrow. So again, we don't want to take thought in the sense of being apprehensive, having anxiety, being anxious, or being unduly concerned. Let's go to Matthew 13. See, we don't have to care about these things because God cares for us in abundance. And we'll see that a little later on in our notes today. Matthew 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. Such a crowd on the hill, he went and sat in a ship, which is a little stage he could speak to them from. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And then he goes on and talks to them a little bit, and then back in, starting in verse 18, Jesus Christ explains the parable. He says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself. But dureth or endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Verse 22, He also that receives seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. And that's that same word we had before, where it said take no thought. It's a word that means anxiety or worry. He that receives seed among the seeds, he that heareth the word, but the anxiety, the worry of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. There's nothing wrong with riches, but they can deceive you into thinking they'll do everything for you, and that God doesn't matter. So the anxiety of this world and the deceitfulness of word, the riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So we don't want to let the anxiety that's so prevalent in the world be the thing that stops us from hearing and believing the word. It's a bad thing. Plenty of anxiety in the world, but we can't let it get to us. Verse 23, But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. This is that great record with Mary and Martha. Two sisters, and they're entertaining a bunch of people at their home, and Jesus Christ is speaking to their guests. And Mary is sitting there listening, and Martha is all worried about, you know, making sure there's enough potato chips and enough cups, and the lemonade glasses are full. And there's nothing wrong with being hospitable and being a good hostess, but she was so freaked out about it, she was missing the point that she had Jesus Christ in her living room. And she was more worried about the refreshments and was mad at her sister for not helping serve the food. So here we go in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. She was distracted about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she help. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That same word that means to be distracted. Thou art careful, worried, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Martha hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, that was Martha's problem. She got so worried and upset about serving the food, she missed the point that it's sort of a rare thing to have Jesus Christ come teach fellowship in your living room. You know, you can take care of toasting the bagels later. They'll be there. But the one thing that's needful is hearing the word of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Bagels are important, but or whatever it is you're serving. But given the choice, hearing the word of God is going to do more for you. But look, he says, Martha, Martha, verse 41, thou art careful, anxious, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted, troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now we'll go to Philippians 4, favorite section. We keep coming back to that. I think I told you when I was in high school, somebody told me, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4, 6. Still true today. Philippians 4, in verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You found it. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There are days where it seems there's not a whole lot to be happy about. You got three things you're working on and they all fall apart. And you go, darn. Well, there's always something to rejoice about. We can rejoice in the Lord. Because as God reaffirmed in the manifestations, he's the one we trust. He's the one we look to. He's always there. So we'd like everything to go right in our lives. And that's what we pray for and work towards. But whether it does or not, we always can rejoice in the Lord. Because he's always there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation, and that can be translated as gentleness or patience. Let your moderation, and why can be, well, it says, let your moderation, gentleness, or patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The reason I can be gentle and patient is because God will be there to take care of things. Some people have this attitude, unless they're constantly in combat mode and attacking, they're never going to succeed. And there may be certain types of work where you have to be more combative than others. But at the end of the day, if you trust God, he'll take care of you. And you can afford to be gentle and patient. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, or careful. And it's that same word that means to be anxious, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted. And this happens to us. It can be 100 things going right in life, but if one thing's bugging you, you can just get so fixated on it that you can't accomplish anything. Well, it says here, be anxious, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted for nothing. And that tells us what to do instead. But in everything, by prayer, ask God for help and supplication. That's making specific requests in prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the next time you have something that is threatening to distract you, cause you to worry, cause you to be anxious, cause you to stress out, just say, nope, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to pray in general, and I'm going to pray specifically for what I need, and I'm going to be thankful while I do it. I'm not going to focus on all this nasty stuff going on. I'm going to focus on being thankful for the good things God's done for me. And then look what's going to happen, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep is a word that means build a garrison around. God can protect your heart. And if you don't feel your heart is very safe and very protected and very peaceful, then you're still allowing yourself to get stressed out by stuff around you. And we all do it. But the more we just turn things over to God with thanksgiving, the less the stuff around us is going to bug us. Because we've turned it over to God, we're thankful he's going to help us, and then a great peace comes upon you. I can't think of the number of times I've been stressed out about something and I just decided to sit down and pray and focus on God helping me, And then all of a sudden, this great peace just washed over my heart, because God says it will. You turn it over to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's okay to think about good stuff. There are always people around you, people in the news, who want to pick out one thing going wrong somewhere, whether it's at your work, in society, in your neighborhood, in somebody you know. But they always want to pick out one negative thing and just laud it to the sky and try to get you to focus on the one problem. Whereas the scriptures say here, think about the good stuff going on. Those things with verse 9, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Then I have a couple great translations of this couple of verses that you may have heard before. This first one's from J.B. Phillips. He says, don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. And the New Living Translation here of these verses is, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And just remember, it says be anxious for nothing. We all tend to get this attitude that whatever's going on in our lives is so important, it really is worth getting anxious about. We tend to over-dramatize, honestly, the importance of what we're doing. I got this big problem. You know, God can maybe take care of these other people with their problems, but me, I've really got it bad. No, you don't. You got it the same as everybody. What's it say somewhere in Corinthians? The afflictions that are accomplished in your life are accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. We're all pretty much in the same boat. We're all human. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We all have things we're good at. We all have things we mess up. So, welcome to the human race. But we also have God who takes care of whatever it is. So, I may think something in my life is so important it's worth getting worried about, but it isn't. It's worth praying about. It's not worth getting upset about. I do have important things in my life, like you have important things in your life, and God cares about every one of those things. But they're not so important they're worth getting worried about. They're so important they're worth praying about, and God will take care of you. Now here's where we get to talk about God's care for us. 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a great abundance of it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here we go. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's the one you humble yourselves under. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now this is real interesting, because this is first word care is the one we've seen before, meaning to be anxious, stressed out, worried. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think that God is stressed out and worried about us, because we cast our care on Him because He's stressed out and worried about us. But it's not. It's a totally different Greek word. It's interesting. It's a Greek word. We pronounce it mellow, which I think is interesting. It doesn't, not related to our English word mellow. It just happens to be the Greek word mellow. But it's true, because it means to just be aware of what's going on. God doesn't have to freak out about us. He doesn't have to be mentally distracted. He just has to be aware of what we need, and then He provides. I think that is so great, because that's what that word means. To translate this verse a different way, it might mean cast all your anxiety upon Him, because He's aware of what you need. And because He's aware of what we need, and He's promised to take care of us, that's all we need to know. We have an abundance of His care. In any situation you're in, God knows how to fix it. But we have to take our anxiety and not hold it in and worry about it, but cast it on God. There's this one guy who wrote some books on this topic years ago. He was an English teacher at this little college in the Midwest, and people would come into his office all worried about this and that, and he would just open the window and say, throw all those problems out the window. Let God have them. And it's a good little mental image. You got a problem? Throw it away. Just get rid of it. We cast all our care upon him. Let's look at this verse again. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care, whatever it is, all your anxiety, all your worry, all your mental distraction, whatever it is you're worried about, cast it on him because he's aware of what you need. In verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing, this is what we talked about before, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not alone. There are days you look around and think everybody else is doing so great and you're the only one that's messed up. Nah, everybody's messed up. What did it say? All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We're made out of dust. None of us is perfect. Some people are a little better at one thing than another. Probably things you're better at than a lot of people. There are probably other things that other people may be better at than you are, but so what? Doesn't matter. God takes care of all of us. So we resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But the main thing to look at for the point of view of this teaching today is verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He knows what you need. He's there to help. He's there to supply. I mean, God has so many names in the Old Testament. Like one of the famous ones is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see and provide. Whatever it is you may need, God will see and he'll provide. And that's the confidence we have. Sure, we do our planning, we do our schooling, we do our thinking, we do our working, we should. But at the end of the day, whether you figured it all out or not, God's got it figured out. And he'll be there to provide. And that's what we rely on. Psalm 1. A couple sections now about just looking to God to wrap up here. Psalm 1. Here we go. In Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You may hear people say things that are against God's word, but you don't have to walk in it. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's just delighted in God. Remember, there's that verse in Psalms that if we trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou very verily live in the land and be fed. But if you go the next step and delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And here we see it again. This man that's so blessed, his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And it's great. It talks we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's very important because it was a much more arid land, much drier than where we are now. And trees by rivers did well. Trees not by rivers sometimes didn't have enough water. And it's a great analogy showing that even if things are very scarce, like water, you'll have enough of what you need. You know, if you happen to be a tree in the middle of Nevada, you better be planted by a river. You're not going to be very big and green because there's not that much water. But if you're by the river, you're fine. Well, in the same way in life, there may not seem to be enough of this, enough of that. There may be shortages, there may be problems. But we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It doesn't matter how many shortages, how many problems, God's going to take care of us simply by focusing on him and his word. Proverbs 3, very familiar, very popular section. But always good to remind ourselves of this. Proverbs 3, verse 5. trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's important because there are things in life we can figure out and there's plenty we can't. So rather than worry about what we can't figure out in life, just trust in the Lord and don't lean to your own understanding. Just realize, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't have this figured out, but I'm going to trust God and know he's going to help me. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Again, we plan, we think, we try to figure it out, but at the end of the day, we simply trust God and he directs our paths. And one to close in Philippians 3. Or Philippians 4 before. Go to Philippians 3 and wrap up here. Here we go. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Because God's care for us is so abundant. It's so rich. It's so full. There's no part of our life he doesn't care for us and won't be there to help us. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have attained to great success and understanding. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, you have to. The past is past. Everybody has a past with some good things and some not so good things. That's just life. But it's gone. You just let it go. Forget it, those things which are behind, and reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thus, therefore, as many as be perfect, and we are perfect spiritually, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So rather than being worried about making the right decisions, we just move ahead with the things of God. We leave the past behind, we move forward, keep our heads on the word the best we can, and if we're goofed up, God will tell us. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In other words, where we've seen things at work in our lives, where we have grown spiritually, let's stay with it. It's just so simple in life. Forget about the past, move forward with the things of God, do the best, and if you're going the wrong direction or goofed up, God will show you. In the meantime, just stay with what works. You know, we've seen things work, and there are always people and situations trying to talk you out of what you know from God's word, talk you out of where you've seen God help you, but don't let them talk you out of it. Just stay with it. Just charge right along. And so you sort of got to do that. Picture an athlete. You know, you've just got to go out and play the game or run the race the best you can. And if something goes wrong, there'll be a coach or somebody to point out and say, don't do that. In the same way, we just move ahead with the things of God, knowing that God's going to bless us and knowing that if we need a course correction, God will show us. So, God does have an abundance of care. So as you go through the week, and we've all got a week ahead, we've all got responsibilities, we've all got goals, we've all got to-do lists, that's just part of being human. And we should go through that, but go through it with the attitude that God has an abundance of care for us. And he'll pick up the slack. Because there are things I want to get done this week, some of which I'll do pretty well. Others I'll either goof up, forget, or totally get it wrong. But God will pick up the slack. So that's why I don't enter the week worried and full of fear. I enter it with great confidence that God's going to come through and it'll be a great time. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. Thank you for the joy of having your word available, being able to read it, being able to believe it, being able to pray for one another. And we pray for a great week ahead of trusting you, looking to you, and having absolutely no care, no anxiety in our lives because you care for us. You're aware of what we need, and you take care of us. Thank you for this and your wonderful love and kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.